Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
A thousand salutes to you, sir. Yes, recording live from London slash the south coast slash Thames estuary of that there London. I'm good. Did you see people who watch on YouTube, did you see a little rubber band floating up to the sky there? I was playing with a rubber band. it fell off my finger, it flew up in the air, and I noticed it. I don't know whether anybody else did. So there you go. If you are listening on the old MP3, maybe you want to have a look to see what happened with the rubber band. I didn't come here to talk about rubber bands, Chris. I came here to talk about every single morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, I do this show and I always have some bit of dog food on my hand, right? And I've spoke about this before. It is horrible. It's disgusting. But when you are removing the contents of a can of dog food, you sometimes get some on your hand, and it's the worst feeling in the world. And you just think about it for quite a while. Well, Chris, I can one up that. It's 6:24 on a whenever we're recording this. I have got dog food not only on my hand, but in my pocket. I've got dog food in my pocket, and the other is playing a piano. I've got dog food on my hand, and then I put it in my pocket, and I can feel the dog food in my pocket. I'm Dr. Dog Food, who's got dog food in my pocket. It's dreadful stuff, and it's no way to start a day. If that's how I'm starting the day, you know, like when you go into a hotel room, and the first thing you do is do an almighty poop, or something else. You get into a hotel room, and the first thing you do is you go for a wee, you go for a poo, and if you're feeling fruity, you go for something else. And you've got to understand, from the hotel room's perspective, that's the first time you're meeting, right? So the hotel room is going, right, if that's the first thing he's doing, what's the rest of the time going to be like in here? What other horrible things am I going to see? So very much, it just feels like that to me. I'm starting the day in an incorrect participation, and I can't get out of it, and I don't feel good about things. All right, so that's how I'm feeling, Chris. You might have journeyed across midlife. Japan on your bicycle, Connor, raising all that money and stuff, and your legs might hurt. But hey, Chris, I very much enjoyed the fact that you had, after the journey across Japan, you told me that you had a two-hour massage to recover. I mean, that is. What was there anything left? I've had a 1 hour massage, and that was like, that's too much, right? 2 hours of massage just on the bottom half. Wow.
Don't think you can escape your midlife crisis monologue just there.
I'm very tired.
What was that all about? You're the sort of person that carries pocket meat around with them, aren't you? You
have little hands jerky
in your pocket all
time. I'm one of those preppers. I've been watching too much Fallout.
I actually just watched the first episode before I came here. That's why I'm late. I was watching the episode one. Off to a good start, isn't it? As somebody who loves the games, well, particularly number 3 and New Vegas, it's off to an exciting start.
It is. Very bloody start as well. But then you do sort of remember, oh, yeah, it is quite bloody, isn't it, a video game? I forget that was kind of an aspect of it. I remember, like, the comedic kind of 1960s futurist notes, but it's very, very bloody. That man getting caught in a door was particularly strong.
I love, like, you know, what they thought the future was going to look like in the 50s. And one of my favourite films is Brazil, which came out, like, I think it came out in 1985.
Yeah.
And that is, like, a creepy futuristic world, but it's what they thought the 80s would look like in the 1950s. So it's very analogue, lots of cables and things. But, yeah, really good. Lots of great TV at the moment. Been finishing up Shogun. Last episode comes out in 2 days. Diving headfirst into Fallout. And finally watched all of House of Dragon. So I don't know what's happening.
All right, okay, yeah.
I think to get through the cycle, I had to, in the evenings, I would, like, dive into a hotel room and, bash out a few programs and not do unsavoury things in hotel rooms, as he described earlier on.
He's watching House of Dragon in the bath.
House of Dragon in the bath. That's how you get through a two-week cycle.
Hotel of Dragon. There's a TV show I really must recommend that we just finished watching, on Netflix, called Baby Reindeer, which is about a woman who stalks a man, and that kind of weird relationship a man has, or people sometimes have, with their stalkers, aka the woman from ABBA, who I believe married a stalker, I think. I think that was the case. It's this kind of, like, weird kind of, like, necessary, non-necessary relationship that a man goes through. True story, with his stalker, and where that brings him, his relationship with his sexuality, if you've ever experienced any level of sexual assault, don't watch it, but if you can't particularly handle something like that, you would imagine, but it's an astonishing bit of work. I think it's the best telly I've seen in a good few
Baby
years.
Reindeer.
So, Baby Reindeer, and it's kind of... It kind of puts me in mind of, like, that kind of weird parasocial relationships that a lot of people in your job, Chris, and to a lesser extent I do, have with people. So it's a really interesting
parasocial
story.
I mean, that's kind of like I've always struggled to define what that means.
I think it just means that kind of, like, you're too available. I think and the whole reason why your whole reason for making money and having a career involves giving a little bit more of yourself than you actually possibly should do. I think maybe, you know, these relationships used to be very one way. I produce something, you watch it, I get money and fame, thank you very much. Relationships with people usually. But now it's very, with social media, you give so much of yourself and you're so available, and people feel like they have a piece of you when in fact they really shouldn't.
It's a hard thing to know where the line is.
You want a piece of this? He's got dog food in his pocket. You want a piece
it's
of
funny,
this?
Really? Oh God, pocket meat, Donaldson. It's a funny old thing, really. When I started out doing this, I didn't even put my full name in the videos, and that's why everyone. It was like 4 years in before people were like, "Chris Broad, abroad in Japan, it's a pun," because I didn't tell anyone my name, and I kept it under the radar for the first. It must have been the 2-3 years, because I was like, I just wanted to pop up, make a silly video, and then sort of fuck off and disappear back to the rice fields of North Japan. And now you can look up every sort of facet of my life, and as you do with a lot of influencer folks, you get past the million subscriber mark. You know, you've got the book, you've got the website, you've got YouTube videos. It's a very odd thing. Somebody who doesn't overly enjoy... I don't know, it's weird, yeah, I don't...
Don't like people.
Doesn't feel
like people, Lynn.
it's like it's really hard to explain it, really. Guess that's why I have to try and separate who I am in videos with who I am in real life. Like the entertainer kind of me, the sarcastic twat on screen is subtly different, only subtly, to the real life me. But no, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to know where the line is. But
yeah, it must have been hugely.
What a weighty topic to be discussing on my birthday.
It's Chris's birthday. Chris, you're getting to that point in life where birthdays don't matter, my friends. People ask you what you want for your birthday, and your mind goes blank, and you've got no idea. So, happy birthday, Chris. Happy
Thank
birthday.
You very much.
How are you celebrating your birthday? I can't believe I've stolen a bit of it. To be fair, you did choose the day to record this, so you should have known it was your birthday.
It's true. It's not Pete's fault we're recording my birthday. I got a few days. I got a little hike actually this week. Having just got back from blowing my legs off, I'm now going to hike up a mountain. Yeah, it's good. I went out last night with some friends, you know, the usual bunch, and had some. They bought me some cheese. I got some nice gifts. Connor and Ian bought me cheese boards, which I will dispose of tonight.
carrying some sweaty cheese through the streets of Shinjuku.
And big pieces
very
of cheese
enjoyable.
As well. Connor was like, I got the Ferrari of cheese boards, and it's just a massive block of Camembert, which is good, to be fair. I'm not going to argue that. And Ian got a really nice cheese board. He's like, okay, mate, I got you this. Ian's got this, like, nicely chosen selection.
Right.
And Connor's big piece of Camembert.
He's gone for, like, he's gone for, like, look how much Camembert there is for that amount of money. And Ian's gone for a beautifully curated, lovely bit of cheese.
That's right. And, I think Pete and Paul got me some Kenobi gin, the gin that I famously drank and got annihilated on while I did that awkward sponsored live show for Kenobi gin three years ago. Where I got...
It's a great advert, really, then, isn't it?
if you want me to... If you're going to hire me to, like, promote your gin, don't give me all the gin because it's not going to go well.
Exactly.
Lovely team.
Chris, how are you going to walk up the side of a mountain and do these feats of endurance when you have gout? You eat like a Victorian strongman or a lord.
It's all that Camembert, isn't it? The Camembert.
It's all that Camembert, We'll get you.
Actually, I think today is the first day my legs feel normal, and it's been, a week or so?
Right.
It's actually been a week already. Jesus. Yeah. And my legs are fully operational once again, just in time to be ruined up a mountain in the central Japan Alps. It's going to be nice, though. I'm looking forward to it. And, and Charlotte got me a nice diorama of, like, a Japanese town. Like, she had to painstakingly make. Did a really
I love those things. I think they're cracking.
They're really cool, yeah. Mm. And they're actually, you might have seen it if you're in the UK, or they've got the, every bookstore's got the Abroad Japan book in it at the moment, and they've got a few of those around. But they're so good. They're such detail. It's like a little book, what do you call it? Like a bookshelf. You put the end of your bookshelf.
What do you call them? Bookend. A bookend.
Bookend. Bookend, yeah. And it's got like a little whole little world in there. There's like a river and a stream and a street and a shop and a train. Mm. It must have taken her ages. And I always feel bad because I'm like, that's good, isn't it? And she's already spent like 3 days
Thumbs
on it.
Up.
And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Nice job. And I need to do a better job across the board conveying my emotion. Something I'm not very good
at. All right. Okay. Well, okay. I'm you, right? You give me, you think of a present in your mind. This is me opening up the present. What am I opening?
I've built you the entirety of Egypt's three pyramids, the Great Pyramids of Giza. Took me 3 months.
Oh,
look at that.
Oh my God. It's a wonder of the world. Oh my God. See? And seen.
Wow.
That's how you do it.
He's the best. He's the best. But yeah, no, it's good. I'm 34. Pretty average number, nothing.
I'm 34, and I want more. I want dioramas in my life. Beautiful.
It's daunting. I mean, you always said that, I remember when we talked about this when I was like 28, 29, 30. You were always like, the 30s are your best bit of your life. The 30s, And it's been all right.
I mean, I didn't say like Louis Theroux, Chris.
The 30s.
That thing you were saying there about the 30s being the best part of your life.
It is. I mean, I didn't have stinking 20s. I had a good 20s, but 30s were A-OK. I got everything I wanted out of life. Went to Japan for the first time, so, you know, all that. I think it's a cool decade. So anybody fearing their 30s shouldn't fear their 30s because it's a cool decade. You kind of know where you're at. You kind of know what you want out of life. For me, it was a lot of alcohol, but you know what you know what you I mean, and COVID stole a couple of years of it, I think, possibly. Yeah. Anyway, so
One lucky year now, but cheers for all the birthday wishes, guys, and Pete. I think Pete forgot, as or every year.
I didn't forget. I didn't know.
1 week apart.
I always forget, yeah. All right, well, I'll ring you up on the 30th and tell you precisely what I what I need out of you. I need cheese.
It's his birthday.
Hello,
next
Chris,
week.
I need cheese. I know it's 3 o'clock in the morning there, but I need some cheese.
It's
can you DoorDash me some cheese?
Oh, shut up. It's my birthday today. It's Charlotte's birthday on the 23rd, and it's Pete Dawson's birthday on the 30th.
Right, so, okay. If you need to steal our social security details, there's the first step towards it anyway.
Oh, God. Anyway, let's plunge headfirst into a story from Bumbling Brandon. It says, hello, guys. Creamy Chris and Perky Pete, this past January, ew, I went to Japan for the first time, and it was an amazing experience. Still, one thing did happen that I'd never heard anyone speak about. Okay. After taking a day to explore the city of Fujisawa and the surrounding area, I went back to the station to head back to my hotel in Shibuya. Before entering, a man with a newspaper in hand stopped me and asked if I spoke Japanese. I replied, no. Almost immediately, he started talking about some ritual chant that he suggested we do together. He claimed it was a chant to help one become more vigorous and happy. I told him, who says that out loud? Confused, I told them that I needed to go and that I really didn't have time to be happy or for a vigorous chant. His rebuttal to this was that this chant would save me. I had no idea what this man was talking about, and I was starting to wonder if this was some sort of scam. Still, he persisted. We do this chant together, and you can leave. At this point, I just decided backing away was the best solution. And thankfully, he gave up. Has something like this ever happened to any of you? And if so, what happened? I still have no clue what this interaction was even really about. Halfway through the conversation, it felt like he was trying to pass on some type of family curse, and the only way to get rid of it was to have somebody else chant the spell to break him free. I guess we'll never know. Thanks to watching your videos on Japan for the last few years, I knew what to expect, and I wasn't overwhelmed on my travels. Keep up the good work, guys. Bumbling Brandon. Sorry, Brandon, that we did not prepare you for the chant ritual sort of scary fucking cult scenario.
Yeah.
It sounds like...
That's happened so many times to both of us. It follows. Yeah. Which one's that one?
It's where you have a curse, and it's like it's pretty scary. It's like a monster's coming towards you very slowly, step by step, and it's always coming for you unless you have sex with someone and pass it on. At which point you'll go after them.
Yeah.
And this is just that, but less. Well, maybe just without the sex, just with more vigour.
Well,
yeah, I don't know.
You've done the chant.
They do exist. We haven't talked about cult stuff in a while, but there are an abundance of cults and sects and bizarre things going on in Japan, and that's probably what that was, to be honest. What are your thoughts there? What do you reckon?
I don't know. I mean, it reads like an email from fucking Skyrim. Like, why do all of our emails? It's always just like someone giving someone a side quest. So, hi, do you want to do some chanting? Yeah, all right. Yeah, fine. I mean, when we sort of talk about
vigorous quest unlocked.
Yeah, it's a vigorous side quest in Yakuza. Like, we laugh at Yakuza that all the side quests are very silly and fun, and there's just a lot of variety in them. Like, this is just life. There's always something stupid happening up there. But it does sound like somebody... It sounds like those monks that try and sell you a book in London, in the middle of London, you know, like where you they go to shake your hand or give you a free book and then they demand money off you. You know, like monks should.
The one that I remember was the one where they like put flowers in your hand and then like they ask you for money. They like thrust these flowers into your hand. And Fujisawa, though, I mean, Fujisawa's near Kamakura. It's quite a nice area. So I kind of thought, is it like some mystical mountain place? No, it's just Greater Tokyo area. So I don't know. Also, I don't know. But it reminded me of the biscuit lady, the iconic biscuit lady from Journey Across Japan, who pulled me over at the side of the road, gave me a biscuit, a custard cream, and then tried to lure me off to a party. And she showed me photos of the party that foreigners had gone to in the past. Right. And it was a photo of like... two Americans just looking, a man and a woman, just looking really confused and distraught on just a sofa in a room. And it's always haunted me since. Like, if I'd just gone, yeah, all right, it'll be fun, won't it? What a lucky escape. She didn't promise me vigour or anything rigorous or happy. So
give me some vigour. I wish I could have some vigour.
I bet you should.
I'm not in my 30s.
But those custard
anymore.
Creams, at least I got the custard creams, and they helped push me on to the last 30 kilometres to Niigata.
Yeah.
God. Anyway, what's going on in Japan this week, Mr. Donaldson? Fill us in with the news. I've been busy recovering from the cycle. I have no idea what's going on. Tell us what's going on.
Well, Chris, you know, as a content producer, I know, as a podcast producer, we live and die by our reviews, and a group of 63 doctors in Japan have filed a lawsuit with the Tokyo District Court on Thursday against Google itself, seeking nearly 63 doctors, and they're seeking $9,400.
$9,400.
I haven't got a calculator with me, but I don't think you're getting much money. I don't think that's going to get your costs, to be honest. In compensation for causing harm to their businesses through what they described as one-sided, hateful reviews for their clinics on Google Maps. It is the suit is the first in Japan and possibly the world to target a platform rather than the individuals who posted the reviews, lawyers of the plaintiffs say. One of the lawyers representing the doctors told a news conference that the main purpose of the lawsuit is not to seek compensation for damages, good because you're not getting any, caused by the poor reviews, but instead to raise awareness over various problems with the Google Maps system. People often misunderstand that I'm taking these actions because I want bad reviews about me to be deleted, but that is not the case. He just basically wants people to stop using medical institutions as one-sided punching bags. Unlike other businesses, patients don't pay the majority of their treatment covered by the national healthcare system. Therefore, we can't give in to any of the demands or all the demands that the patient have. We can't prescribe unnecessary medicines or perform unnecessary tests, the lead plaintiff says. So we have to decline such requests. But when we do it, it can result on bad ratings on Google Maps. Interesting. It's like rate your... it's like that website, Rate Your Professor and stuff, isn't it? It's like you can't have any say in who you go to because you're employed. You know, you don't have that much choice in the matter. But obviously, if you've been, if you feel like you, if you feel aggrieved, that's your only kind of recourse, I suppose. It's fascinating how they're managing to do this.
I guess, I mean, Google reviews are a scary thing. You know, anybody can leave them. Really, you can cripple a business quite comfortably on Google. I rely on Google reviews an awful lot before going into a restaurant. It's like the first port of call, and if it's like below 3.7, I'll rarely go in there in Japan because most restaurants, that's the point. I think 3.7 below, that's when the restaurants are like, oh, we should just go somewhere else. So I on a restaurant level, I take it quite seriously. On a doctor level, I guess he would as well. I mean, I whenever I'm looking up doctor stuff in Japan, I look at Google reviews again, and some of the reviews are horrific.
So you do have the choice to go to whatever doctor. Procedure. You can sort of go to whatever doctor and go, hey, how you doing? You're not registered with one GP in wherever you live.
No, I'm not. Oh. And I don't think many people are. You basically just choose where to go. It's not like the UK system where you kind of have like a local GP and your family doctor. Although I suppose because I'm in Tokyo, it's a big city, right? So you can go anywhere or whatever. But in the where I lived out in the middle of nowhere, I kind of did have a regular doctor I went to. But you can go wherever you want. Once you sign up to it, you can go there again and again, whatever. I've had some bad experiences at doctors in Japan that I've talked about before that made me move around. And so Sharla, you know, I remember with her thyroid, I joined her on a trip to a few doctors, and the first one she went to was unspeakably shit, and I don't even know how he was a doctor. It was quite frightening. The doctor stuff in Japan, it's a scary business sometimes.
Are they doctors who kind of review quite well with foreign people? The people who kind of review, because obviously, you know, even physically, you're probably slightly different as well.
Honestly, I think if the doctor's good, they will get a good review. I think if they've made... I mean, I don't know. I need to dig a bit deeper into this news story. I can see why they would be a bit pissed or whatever, but at the same time, I've had the most traumatic experience at a doctor in Japan. The one where I had the endoscopy stuff down my mouth. And it was like... Ooh. It was like an episode of Mr. Bean. It couldn't have been worse than it was. I honestly, it was fucking awful. I've probably needed, and since then, I've probably needed many endoscopies to look into my stomach. That's what happens when you eat camembert, right? You're fucking
what's down there? It's gin and cheese, Chris.
Yeah,
as
why
well
is there? Why is there all of fucking France's cheese board in your stomach? Of course, you. So, but I had the most traumatic experience, and since then, I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that now.
Don't want to do it. Right.
The doctor, he was like, they put me in like a broom cupboard, and they made me do it, and they were like,
definitely a doctor. Put this in your mouth, get in the cupboard. Mm.
I don't know what your image of an endoscopy is. I thought it'd be like a wire cable, right? Like a small wire cable. And I think they do exist because I've had something put up my nose that was like a wire and had a camera. Very efficient. Mm. This was like a rope. It was like the sort of rope you'd use to tie the fucking Titanic to port when it comes into dock. Like, it was a joke. And they maybe made up like a mouthpiece, like Silence of the Lambs. So I've got this like mouthpiece. They stick it through. So I don't bite the damn thing. Goes all the way down into your stomach. And then they took the photos. And I'm like gagging for like 20 minutes nonstop because he didn't give me enough medicine to numb my throat. So I'm just gagging over for 20 minutes. And then they took the photos and they pulled the thing out. And then they hit the print button. And they were like, oh, no print paper. And there's no photo memory on the camera. So we'll need to go again.
You're
I was like,
no,
you don't. You're fucked. That's it. Job done. They got one photo. I think one photo came out and the remaining four or five photos just didn't print. And it was like, and I'm like sitting there, tears running down my face from continuously gagging on this endoscopy thing for like 25 minutes. It was like a horror show.
Yeah.
And it was very unprofessional. And the fact it was done in like a broom cupboard in Sendai. And that doctor's actually gone now as well. I wonder why. But
you take your rope with you. Take your endoscopy machine with you. Would you have reviewed them badly at that point? What would you have written in the review?
I mean, I'm a nice person, and even if I have a bad experience, I often don't. Well, unless I thought it was like life threatening. You know, in hindsight, I should have left a 2 stars out of 5. 2 stars out of 5. Nearly choked to death.
Even-handed.
On a 10-meter camera. Like, honestly.
Yeah. I only came in with a sore foot.
I spend my time with cameras, but I don't want one stuffed down into my stomach.
Yeah.
Anytime soon.
Surely you could have procured, like, one of those Instax 360 cameras that's stuffed down there instead. Just
honestly,
put that down on a bit of dental floss. Yeah, swallow that and put it out.
Stuffing a whole Polaroid down my throat on a string, just fucking hitting the shutter button. But I think, you know, I set myself up to fail. I went to this doctor. He was an all-around GP, not a specialist in
all-around, not
in
inside
stomach health. And I feel like if I'd gone somewhere good, which I should have done, the only reason I went there was because the guy spoke English. And I was like, yeah, it's important to be able to communicate in English about medical matters. No, it's important to go to a doctor that uses an up-to-date fucking camera when they're giving you surgery. Like, oh, God, this is messed up, honestly. But I should have left a bad review. I should have done a bad review for that, for what they put me
it's
through.
It's incredible. I mean, like, there was a bit of a furore this week. Marcus Brownlee, the tech YouTuber, like, just proper... A proper bloke in that space. He just knows what he's doing.
Proper bloke.
Like, he's starting cars now, I think, like electric cars. Anyway, he reviewed a artificial intelligence little kind of button that you wear on your top.
Humane.
And people were, these kind of like tech bros, very excited about the very idea of this little stupid button that you press and then it goes. Mm-hmm. You ask it a question and it tells you what the answer is. But Mark is like very even-handedly just sort of wrote a review that basically said it doesn't do what it says it does, you know, and when it's very, very slow. And then there was loads of slew of reviews because these people had such hope for the future of AI and such hope for the future of this little pin. That they were saying that how dare you, Marcus? You have destroyed with your careless review. Mm. You have destroyed a nascent product, and it's like, but it wasn't very good, was it? It didn't do half the stuff that it said it was going to do. So that made me giggle.
It's like if I built a robot, like humanoid robot, and I stuck an iPhone to it and pressed Siri, and I was like, it's my robot, you can buy it. It's shit.
It's
like the humane pin, I was really excited about it as well. It's like it is like a small badge, you put it on your chest, and the idea is that you know, we don't need screens anymore. The future's arrived. You can talk to the AI. You don't need screens. You can tap it. You can ask for the time, the weather. You can ask questions. What's the population of Tehran? You know, you can ask it anything. It'll come back nice and quick. And it's got a little holographic screen, not holographic, but a projector, a tiny laser projector onto your hand, and you maneuver your hand around. Lots of potential. The problem is they released it like 3 years too soon. So, of course, when people are like, oh, this is shit. You released it too soon. Polish it up, you know, make it good. Like, take some more time.
It just sounds very much like, I mean, I think, you know when like a mobile phone's trying to find a network signal.
It just works
harder and harder, so it amplifies the signal as much as possible, but it just gets hotter and hotter and hotter. I think that's what this situation is, and also so the battery life was just quite variable for no good reason, and also it just took too long. So I mean, you're talking network, you're talking, I guess, the time it takes for you to broadcast the voice, for it to send it up to the cloud to figure out what you're trying to say, send it back down again, and then figure out what you're figure out what the answer is to the thing you're trying to say. It's just the network seem to be working against it a little bit. That's the sense I got from it. But you know, a nice little product. Starting point. I think people expect with stuff like that it's gonna get it right, really right, the very first time. We're all expecting to have like the iPhone 1. We're all expecting to have these incredible products, but sometimes it is the Tesla Cybertruck. Sometimes it's one of them.
Tesla Cybertruck.
And they've got to get better.
The pedal falling off. Literally all recalled this week as well.
Are they right? Yeah. God, all of them. Good God.
No, I was excited for this Humane Pin thing, and I knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but it looked a lot worse than I could have imagined. I think they will get it right eventually. The problem is that, yeah, like you said, when all the processing, everything is done in the cloud rather than on the device, then if you're not connected to the internet, you're stuck. When I went to the Ryokan with Connor last month and we're in the middle of sudding nowhere, I remember I couldn't use anything on my phone. You know, I couldn't look at the weather. I think the calculator struggled.
I couldn't watch House of the Dragon.
My photos were like, yo, some of these photos aren't properly saved on your device. So I couldn't do so much. Yeah. And it was like, Jesus, we're screwed without the internet. And, because you can't watch your favourite Abroad Japan episodes. But reviews are important. I do think they're important, though. And I certainly spend some time looking at reviews of the Abroad Japan book as a writer who wants to improve. And luckily, all the reviews are pretty much what I knew was wrong with the book anyway, which is that the last quarter is hard cramming 7 years into like three pages. But lessons to learn from. But I don't know. On the subject of suing Google, I don't think that's the best way. But then at the same time, if your whole business is going under because you've been review bombed, then I can sympathize with them to some extent. And I know sometimes Google is favorable and does help when that happens, right? I know in the past Google reviews like step in and they sort of block people from reviewing, but I guess if it's a steady stream of pissed off customers, there's not much they can do about it, really. And
especially when it is your opinion is codified into law. I mean, you can have an opinion, and that's kind of free speech, isn't it? I mean, I don't know where that, if indeed it does change in Japan, I mean, that would set a precedent in that country and make it difficult for anyone to run a review site, one would suggest.
I do love reading reviews, though. It's like my favourite thing, because they're so like, I was reading a review earlier. There's a burger chain in Japan called Lotteria, and it's the worst burger restaurant you'll ever go in. And I'm reading one now. I just wanted to do a test of like a bad review, and there's a review of Lotteria, because I don't know who goes in there. I've never met anyone who's like, let's go for a Lotteria burger. No, you don't do that. Don't. They make all right chocolate at a push and some nice sweets, but the burgers, my God. One time in 12 years I went there, worst burger of my life. And this review, he says, this is not a review of the restaurant, but rather a review of the brand and their franchises. Lotteria burgers are the most greasy, tasteless, and downright disgusting food to be ever created under God's watchful eye. The existence of this brand is an insult to humanity. Their milkshake has no taste, and they always have the audacity to only give you one thin paper napkin, regardless of how much food you order. If you like Lotteria, I suggest professional psychological help. And that's from Ibrahim. 4 months ago, on clearly a very unpleasant trip to Lotteria in Tokyo. I love it.
Cracking.
I love reader reviews. My God. We're back to the moment, guys. Your stories, comments, and questions over in the fax machine.
Wow.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dolson?
We got a message from Najib. I think we've heard from him in Najib before. Possibly not the same one. Hello, Christopher, Chris and Peter Beats. On your various cycling adventures, journey across Japan and cyclothons, where did you store your bike when stopping at places? Is it safe in Japan to leave your bike outside? Do people even bother to lock them up? As you've often said, how everyone is so trustworthy. In many UK cities, even if you lock your bike outside a shop in broad daylight for 5 minutes, when you come back out, the bike's gone. Thanks, Najib. Yes, Chris. Yeah. I mean, people have like, oh, certainly when I was there, they have those kind of little locks at the back. Like they're like a little wheel lock. They're not particularly, if you've just got like a city bike, not an expensive one, you usually got like a little kind of like half crescent that kind of locks into the spoke at the back. And it looks like you could sort of blow into it and it would open. It doesn't look very secure at all. And that seems to sort of go with most people. But I have seen people just not even bother to lock up their bikes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary thing. Bike theft is a thing in Japan. It does exist.
Right.
And it's quite common. Do you know what the most stolen thing in Japan is, though?
Can
you
Hearts.
No. Umbrellas.
Right. Umbrellas. Oh, well, that's fair. I mean, yeah, but you do leave them outside the shops, don't you? Come on, everyone.
It's fair.
I've stolen a few in my time. To be fair, I think I've unknowingly stolen a few in my time. Because you just put them outside and they all look exactly the same. They're all those cheap plastic 7-Eleven ones.
Unknowingly. Lies. It's the worst thing when you come out, you spend 600 yen on an umbrella and you go in somewhere like a convenience store, you come out and your lovely brand new umbrella's gone. And then you're like, do I take someone else's? Does the cycle continue? And then you have to choose. But don't worry about it too much. Everybody takes each other's umbrellas. when they all look the same, they're all the same crappy cheap umbrellas from 7-Eleven. It's hard to know whose is whose. No, we put the bikes in the back of a van. We put them in the back of a van and we locked the van. And I think that's the best thing to do because the bikes Connor and I have are quite expensive. They're made of carbon fibre. And that's the secret to cycling for 2 weeks. Make sure your bike isn't the weight of a small elephant. Get carbon fibre bikes. But yeah, we lock them up. But they do have sophisticated bike parking in Japan. Like there's like really cool underground bike car parks that you can lock them away as well. But like generally, yeah, if I was cycling across Japan alone and I was using my bike, I would get a like a proper one of those really strong ones that you can tie your bike to something like a pipe or something outside where it's a bit more secure. Not that that would necessarily save it, but yeah, it's a worrying thing though. For sure. Question from Don from LA. He says, to Chris and Pete, we already know the time Chris almost died on Mount Fuji, froze to death on an island, and the numerous times Ryotaro also tried to kill Chris on camera. Has there been any other times on your Japan travels where either of you have thought that you were ill-prepared or in over your head? Don from LA. Have you ever been in over your head, Mr. Dawson?
Yeah, I think falling down some stairs in Shibuya we've spoken about before. I think that was a big one. I was like, as I was falling, I was like, ah, and I looked up and I saw my friend Alex, and I remember thinking, he's not going to get me to hospital.
Falling
the man's
down.
An idiot. The man is ill-equipped to deal with life at the best of times. But it was a pretty bad fall. I did have bruises right up the back and side of me. It was like proper Hell in a Cell Mick Foley height. It was pretty heavy stuff, to be honest.
Jesus. I mean, the closest time has been with Ryotaro, the time he took me skiing in a blizzard, and there was like, I could see from like my, you know, I could see maybe to the length of my finger in this blizzard, and we were skiing on off-piste in 3 metre deep snow. I'll never forget that. That was fucking terrifying, and I still have no idea what the hell he was thinking. all the time he took me up a cliff to look at a sacred shrine, and the way to get the cliff is you just have a greasy metal chain you have to cling to for dear life, because if you let go, you just die. It's as simple as that. It's a good thing you didn't tell me about these things before I was there doing it, because I would have 100% said no, honestly. The Cessna, you know, the Cessna going over Sakurajima volcano was a bit scary. Mm. Probably not as dangerous as Ryotaro, but a bit scary. I remember thinking, we've got one pilot and he looks quite old and he looks quite knackered. We're flying through thick, toxic plumes of sulfur coming out of this volcano. Is he going to be all right? But we made it through and we're fine. But don't ever go skiing with Ryotaro, for the love of God. And finally, hello, cantankerous Chris and pervasive Pete. Thank you for many years of entertainment. You mentioned a few times that Japanese people tend to be lactose intolerant. It always confuses me then for cow piss to be a popular drink in Japan. Isn't it essentially just water, milk, yogurt and more milk? Do they make a different version of cow piss for the Japanese diet? Or do people just suffer after drinking the milky goodness of the drink? Many thanks. All the best, Alex. That's a really good question, actually. I guess cow piss can't have that much lactose in it. It must be like a dusting of lactose. It's more like flavouring of lactosey, milky, yogurty flavour than actual full-blown, you know, milk in it, I think. So maybe that's why. Have you ever had cow piss? I don't think you have you?
Yeah, I have. I've had cow piss. You can actually buy cow piss in the Japanese supermarket in
Hartlepool.
Square. Yeah, Leicester Square. I think, to be fair, my dad is an absolute sod for a Yakult, so I think he would very much enjoy the flavour of cow piss. You can get my favourite ice cream that I always go on about. Coolish has a cow piss flavour that you sometimes experience. Little special edition. Little meeting of the mind, so to speak. The Lotte Corporation and the Calpis Corporation very much getting involved.
I mean, if you're going to go to Lotteria and eat one of those burgers, be sure to wash it down. Yeah. The flavours out of your mouth with Calpis. I love Calpis. Really good, actually. Nice, if you go to like a bar, Calpis Sour. It's pretty good.
Mm.
Like Japanese shochu mixed with Calpis. It goes surprisingly well. It goes well.
Agreed.
Good stuff. I'll be having some for my birthday to wash down all that camembert later on. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to BrawnJapanPodcast@gmail.com or let us know down below in the comments on YouTube. But for now, have yourselves a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again as a 34-year-old man. Oh, God. Right back here
34.
On the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Farewell.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.